but not just in what we would see being successful in the world's eye. We're going to talk about spiritual success and what does it require to be spiritually successful. Joshua chapter 1, we'll look at one verse here tonight, and look if you will with me at verse number 8. And the Bible has already told us in verse number 1 that Moses is dead. He's off the scenes, and I like how God actually says that in verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, of Moses ministering, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Then he says, now, it's time to get, your time comes up. All of us are replaceable. We're not indispensable. Even a great man like Moses, a great man of God, yet God says, I'm still going to take him out of the picture. And somebody, God will always, and a lot of times, folks, I've noticed in 30 plus years of ministry, that you can have some very effective, good-hearted servants in your church, and the Lord sees fit to call them home. And it's interesting who God takes and filters in to raise up, to replace, and sometimes it takes a couple of people, but he always has replacements. And here in Joshua, we get down to verse number 8, he tells them, he goes, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And in it, now watch, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let's pray. Father, add your blessing upon this message, Lord. Pray that it wasn't what we were planning on having, but may you still use it, dear Father, and speak to us in this area of spiritual success. And may it be our heart's desire, and may we be willing to work towards it. In Jesus' name, amen. I like this book of Joshua. I like this first chapter. And he begins to talk about the importance of this thing right here, right off the bat. Amen. You take away the Word of God, you take away the Christian's hope, you take away the Christian's life. If we don't have the Word, because if you don't have the written Word, then that means we never had the living Word either, which Christ was the living Word. And he reminds us that the book of the law, he says here, shall not depart out of your mouth. How many of y'all believe that's biblical? Amen. He says that we are to meditate therein how often? How many of you are meditating day and night? Okay, you can sit there and say, well, how successful are you spiritually then? Because a lot of times we can look and say, well, I'm pretty good, but sometimes we're not as far along as we could be. So he talks about spiritual success. And by the way, I had this chart just made up. And in 2022, y'all know how far away that is? Not too far away. 2022, I started to talk about it earlier, I've been mentioned of it, and I'll explain it a little bit more as we get into towards the end of November, early December. I really want to challenge Regency Baptist Church, which would not leave anybody out, correct? We are all the church. Well, I'm not challenging the building, I'm challenging us to make God's Word first and foremost. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a theme I don't want to tell you what the theme is yet, all right? We're going to have a theme that is really a good, I think it's one of the best themes that God has given me over the years. And in that, I think I made mention, we have these devotionals, a 90-day devotional on the gospel in you, and I'm not giving one out to everybody, I'm giving out to every family. And how many of y'all have devotional time? Raise your hand. How many of you, of course we got Brother Carl, Brother Don, they're widowers. When your wives were here, they had their devotional time too. Is that correct? Yeah. And you guys have a devotional time? Do you have your own? Yeah. And so it seemed like when we were younger and had kids at home, that we always had devotions around the table with the kids. I always led the kids in, whether it was a devotional that we had purchased that was called Keys for Kids, to stuff that we developed for our church at Fair Park, and everybody had the family altar. What I'm getting at here is that we want everybody, sometimes we begin to pull away from that, and we still have, I still have mine, she still has hers. We're both at two ends of the house, but we don't ever have a time where we actually just come together consistently and regularly. That's what this is for. John will still have to do his by himself, Carl, you'll have that, but at the same time, everybody else will have opportunity. So you guys would get with Timothy every day of the week, and you'll do this little devotional for 90 days, making the Word of God the center of your home, on top of your regular stuff. And then it shows you how to read through the New Testament within that same 90 days. So you'll have a reading of the devotional, and then maybe Matthew chapter 1 and 2. The devotional the next day, Matthew 3 and 4. And you'll just go through it, and in 90 days we'll have read through the New Testament together. Because, and by the way, we'll grow by doing that, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Joshua says that we're supposed to do it anyway, day and night, correct? So we're going to have that as a push, and I can come up and say, hey, wasn't Thursdays a great study? And Paul will say, yeah, it spoke to us too, because he read it with his family, and so on and so forth. And then we're also going to have scripture memory.
Amen.
Brother Hammer, I don't have a very good memory. That's because we're not exercising it. If we don't exercise our bodies, our muscle goes down. If we don't exercise our brain, it's been proven that memorization can enhance and keep you from getting, what's that one thing called? all it got my name in, Alzheimer's, all right? So we're going to encourage everybody, and here's how it would be. It would be one verse a week. That's all. And all, it's just like reading it 10 times every day for that whole week, and you'll be able to quote that thing, guarantee you. And I said, there's nothing more effective, spiritual success we're talking about tonight, that will make you spiritually successful in 2022 than knowing you're having a family devotional time, going through the New Testament, and you're memorizing a verse every week. Most of you will be familiar with a lot of the verses because you've been saved for so long that I actually think that it'll be fairly easy. But we're going to have it to where you're going to memorize 27 verses of Scripture. And we're taking one verse out of Matthew, one out of Mark, one out of Luke. So in January, you'll memorize four verses of Scripture, and you'll have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a verse that is a very significant verse that would explain overall picture of each one of those. And we'll go right on through and have 27 verses of Scripture. Now, if you only get 17 of them, you got the rest of the year to finish. Amen? And but we're going to have a chart up there, and I'm going to have it to where it'll be like Pastor Hymer, Althea, da-da-da-da-da, and you'll find a partner, which would be called an accountability partner. How many of you need to be accountable? It sure does help, doesn't it? It's easier to slough off and neglect if I don't have somebody I'm accountable to. And so on that first Sunday you come back, you're going to come up, Mom, and Herb's going to be my accountability partner. I'm going to say, John 3:17. And I'm going to quote John 3:17 to him. And he's going to be looking to make sure I got it right and follow along, because as soon as I get done, he's going to flip over to me and he's going to quote it to me. And on this chart, I'll be able to walk over there, find Herb over here. Here he is. And I'll be able to just put my initials there showing that Herb got it. And I think that ought to encourage us and exhort us. The Bible says we are to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So there, when we were in Bible college, they had us memorizing Scripture. So when you came in to share it, you didn't get to quote it. You had to write it down with correct punctuation. The professors that did that were saying, what if one day they come in just like they did in China and other places and take your Bible? And we don't have any Bibles now. We have to be able to do the best that we can to put together at least what we know. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'll tell you what, you can't go wrong memorizing Scripture, and you can't go wrong with having somebody that will be there to help you make sure you get it done. It's not a bad thing. It's not one of those, what do they call it? It's not legalistic. It's just iron sharpening iron, helping each other to grow and to be spiritually successful. So here we see that, for thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you think that Joshua's life was spiritually successful? I mean, He did cross the Jordan River. Do you think his life was spiritually successful? They did defeat Jericho. Do you think his life was spiritually successful? They did take over Ai, and they shared the land, and he stood before the captain of the Lord of Hosts, and yeah, he was a very successful man. You know, one of the sad stories about Joshua, though, is you never see a servant under Joshua, one particular servant, as he was under Moses, being trained. Thus, when he died, until the elders all died off that believed in him, then everything went haywire. So important that we have a Paul and Timothy, a mentoring thing always going on. So let's look at a couple of things here on spiritual success. The requirements for spiritual success begins, number one, commitment to Christ. Commitment to Christ. The theme for 2022 that I'm going to share later, you're going to see it's pushing the importance of why we're doing what we're doing as a family devotion, as we read the New Testament together as a church, and as we memorize the 27 verses that we have lined up for that. Because God wants us as a unit to be together and agreed upon as we advance. We should be advancing for Christ. And we'll see God begin to make us much more. And even if you are spiritually successful, if you're lacking in not doing some of these things that we've talked about already, you'll become more successful. I think one of the greatest stories I love is the book of Ruth. Ruth said, wherever you go, I'll go. Whoever your God is, I'll be mine. She was committed. And yet, that was a level that she came to, but she didn't stay there. Remember, she took off and cleansed herself. She perfumed herself. She took off her widow's garments, the things of sorrow, and traded them for joy. And she clothed herself. Then she went at the feet of Boaz, who Jesus is our Boaz. And she went from this level of high level of commitment to another level. I'm stepping on the upward way. And so we need to be gaining new heights every day. So there needs to be a commitment to Christ. Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, I pray God, your whole, W-H-O-L-E, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Your whole entire being. Man, you and I, are what they call a tripartite being. Body, soul, spirit. That's how we always usually declare it. That is not how the scriptures usually declare it. The scriptures declare spirit, soul, and body. So God has not only inspired the writers, but he's ordered them in the right position. Everything that we should do for it should first and foremost have to do with the spiritual man, then the soul, the emotions, and then the body. A lot of times preachers will use a message and they'll not be preaching to the people to strengthen and raise up their spirit. He's preaching for emotions. Come down to the altar, and he uses the emotions to play upon, and he leaves out the spirit. Sometimes we have the music where the foot moves before the spirit moves, you know, and it's working towards the body. God says spirit, soul, and body completely. That is how God has ordained it. Some of us, and many times Christians, especially in our day and age, fall short of pleasing God because they are not, listen, they are not totally committed to him. Spirit first, soul second, and body. And this is what Joshua is being challenged with, that the Word of God is what's going to be the tool. It will cleanse you. Now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you? It will direct you. My word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. How can I cleanse my ways? By taking heed according to thy word. And we can go on and on and on with scripture. We need to be wholeheartedly committed to God. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. We have to be totally committed to him. Spiritual success demands complete, and bear with me here. If I have to be wholly preserved unto God, spirit, soul, and body, it not only means a complete 100% commitment to Christ, but it means a complete 100% abandonment of self. Of self. We have to abandon self, and we have to accept God's will. We were just discussing this today, actually. There, when we were in New Hampshire, we were at our last church in New Hampshire. It was a great church, a smaller church, great spirit, just like the spirit here. We had a family that used to go there before we got there. They left because of the pastor and whatever their differences were. And when we came in, We were there for a little while, and then they asked, you know, they came and started visiting. And they said, hey, we'd like to, been praying about leaving our church that we're at and coming back. And I said, well, is there a reason? You know, I know that you left with issues here. Well, that was with the other pastor. And he goes, we're not leaving because of issues with the other guy, that guy in there. We just feel that we want to come back now. And he goes, well, I said, I want you to really pray about this. Really pray that this is God's will. And about a week or two comes back and they come up. We have prayed. We know that this is the will of God for us to come. Okay, let me call the pastor, make sure everything's all right there. Did all of that. I don't like bringing other people in from another church until I talk to the pastor. Okay, if they have issues there, they need to correct them before they come here. All right, I don't need anybody else's issues carrying over. Anyway, so they came according to prayer and the word of God. You know what kind of train uses tissue? Like a tissue like this? A choo-choo train, all right? Hey, him and I, he gets half the credit for it. We're in on this together, all right? We plan this stuff out. Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What I was going to get at is they prayed, said that we have prayed, we've talked to God, God has given us, yes, go, it's his will for us to be here. They came, they started to get involved, and it was only months. They got sideways about something. And they came up and said, hey, we've been praying about something and we just feel God's leading us to go back to the other church. I said, isn't God so mixed up, isn't he? God is incredibly mixed up. By grading God on what people say, we've prayed and talked to God about it. And he confirmed, yes, that how fixed and mixed up God can be. So they went back, rejoined, and it was only about a year later they left that church and went to another one. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, this is not the will of God. And so many times we say we prayed about it, and this is God's will. And number one, prayers probably weren't even lifted up, let alone effective, and God probably never released it. Because God doesn't say, this is my will. Okay, no, I'm not, stay here. No, I want you to go somewhere. That's not God's will. And God's will is that very clearly here, we are committed to Jesus Christ. So there's a commitment to Christ. If we are going to be spiritually successful, how many of y'all think that you have room to become more successful spiritually in your life next year? Just say amen. We all have areas to grow, correct? And I think God has an expectation of that too, that we would be growing, drawing near to God, and he'll draw near to you. The second thing is, if we are to have that, is not only a commitment to Christ, but also a confidence in Christ. In 1 John, John writes in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, I like this, John was just right out there. This is the confidence, he says. This is the confidence that we have, look what it says, in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. John was confident in his prayer life. How confident, really, I want you to think about it. I want you to answer out loud or anything, but how confident are you in your prayer life that you can know what God's will is, pray it, and watch God answer it? And this is what we see. Joshua was made very clear what God's will was. He prayed that God would direct him when the crossing over, when they took. The only issue he had where he had a problem was when he didn't pray at Ai. They assumed that, oh, we took this big old place, we can take this little one easy, you remember? And they didn't find out that there was sin in the camp. And they got it, but they got it corrected and taken care of. And by the way, they had another problem that came up later. Remember, who was that group of people? I'm drawing a blank on them. They came and they had old bread that they put and tore their shoes up. I can't remember. And they deceived Joshua. They, oh, we come from all, huh? Gibeonites, they came in. Oh, they came from a long ways away, and they were only within a couple of days' journey, and they just didn't want to be taken over like everybody else. And it says that Joshua and the elders didn't pray about it. They didn't seek God's face. And then they ended up having to bear the burden of these guys through that whole journey there. So Prayer is vital. If we want to have a spiritual success, we have to have a commitment to Christ, and we have to have a confidence in Christ, and that has to do with prayer. So how is your prayer life? I have had to recently take kind of like a potato and get a peeler out, and you know how you peel potatoes like that, you know? I've had to kind of redo my prayer life, and because I used to meet in the back room. I've been meeting in the front room, and I have left a lot of my back room stuff that I used during my devotion back there. And I've got some, and some of the best parts of it that time is I've got small 50-some page little hymn books of all the great hymns that we should know. And that's a part of my prayer time. And I haven't been using those. And I was rearranging my back room, and I thought, well, man, I haven't done these in a long time. And by the time I grabbed those and grabbed some other things that had been sitting there for probably a couple of months, I brought them out there, went through them, and used them today. And I'll tell you what, it lifted my spirit by bringing those back in. And sometimes we just need to get a cold cup of water and refresh ourselves. And here is the area, and this is one of the areas, is prayer. We have live in a day and age where there is world, and I would say also clearly national conditions, which has caused us to break down our trust and our confidence in what's happening in our world and what's happening in our nation. I think that's safe to say. I think they call that fake news. Excuse me. Jesus Christ, in spite of the fake news that's going on, Jesus Christ is still the truth. I think I just need water. Thank you. If I tell you why I feel I need it, what happened, I'll get in trouble with my wife. Well, what do you think it was? I went in here and got a cup of tea earlier, and there was a, well, it's Peggy's fault. Peggy left candy jar back there. And I'm looking through, and I said, man, there's all kinds of candy. And I kind of flipped, oh, almond joy. I need joy right now. And I love almond joys and mounds. And so I pulled that thing out, and I ate that almond joy. And I think it was a little bit of the almond that stuck in my throat.
See, Paul, if you would have just taken all of that candy.
I know.
Yeah.
You would. So it's partly your fault, too, then. Christ, in spite of fake news and what's happening nationally as well as globally, Jesus Christ is still the truth. He says, I am the truth. And he's not going to mislead us. He's not going to misguide us. That's all right. This will be good. Thanks, Nancy. Yeah, that hit the spot right there. We can safely, and this is what John is doing. John, instead of looking at, by the way, things weren't going really well in John's days either, folks. John was about to be later banished to the Isle of Patmos. And a lot of times we think these are hardships and things, and yet God was using it, so we have the book of Revelation. Paul was in prison many, many times, but had he not been in prison, we wouldn't have the prison epistles that were written, because he had nothing else to do but listen to God tell him, you know, what we could enjoy today. But here we see that even though John was living in hard times, John could write as he did here, and this is the confidence that we have in him, in Christ. You and I, in spite of what's happening today, can place our confidence and our trust in Christ and Christ alone. He will never misrepresent what he said. Truth never does. He will never undermine any situation. Trusting Christ leads us, and I'm talking about, when I talk about trusting Christ, it's talking about prayer here, having confidence in him, leads us to spiritual success. Someone has said, your Christian life is your prayer life. Now let that one sink in for a little bit. Think about your prayer life. What level is your prayer life? If it hit and miss, is it non-existent for the most part, unless something drastic happens? Because if that's how it is, that's really your Christian life, It's really hit and miss. It's really nothing. But if it's one that you're drawing closer, where you're spending time, where you're seeking his face. And by the way, if you struggle with prayer, which that's one of the strongest battles that Satan places in the Christian, I think, is to have a consistent, solid prayer time. The disciples, great men, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew. I mean, John's writing about this, but there was a time when the Lord said, guys, couldn't you pray with me 1 hour? He challenges them to watch and pray. So we talk about spiritual success. There's the commitment to Christ. There's the confidence in Christ. Thirdly, there's compassion like Christ. Compassion like Christ. In Luke chapter 7, he says towards the end of it, he says, When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Oh, man, I tell you, that may be one of the things that's missing a lot in the Christian church today is more compassion. More compassion. Jesus had great compassion. He was touched by the infirmities of others. I was reading the verse today in Hebrews where it says, we have a great high priest. I mean, we don't just have a high priest. Israel had a high priest. Aaron was a high priest. But we have a great high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That means when somebody has hurt me, said something wrong, a tragedy has happened, he's not saying, come on, get over it. You've been soaking long enough. He comes and he has compassion with us. He comes along. I understand. I understand. I remember when my baby sister, lost her first son. She was distraught like anybody would be. She was wailing. But when I got her where she was alone and quiet, I was just holding her, comforting her. And she was, Kevin, why? Why? He was so young. I said, I don't know the mind of God. But I do know that God feels what you're feeling because his son died as well. He lived 33 years. His son didn't lose his life in an accident. Men took it. Well, I said, they think they did. But Jesus said, no man takes my life. I have power to take it. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. And so we see that Christ is compassionate. And folks, we need to become more compassionate. Y'all, anybody have that app on your phone, Next Door? I've got Next Door on my phone, so I get little dings when something's happening in the neighborhood, you know, and somebody had dinged a thing and it said, did anybody see that homeless woman up at such and such corner in such and such place? And she has two grocery carts full of all of her stuff, and it's, she's been homeless for almost 2 years by the time I read all the articles. And it was interesting, the compassion that was being shown. Now, don't misunderstand me when I say this, all right? Because I had to consider, am I thinking the right way or am I not? But there seemed to be a lot of compassion. I mean, the list went on and on, people commenting. There seemed to be a lot of compassion for her and people saying, well, there's this place and there's this place and you can, you know, she can go there and go there. And everybody was compassionate about her situation, but not enough to involve themselves. They were just pointing out places that she could go. But none of them ever said, well, I think I'm going to go get her. And I would be just as guilty as them. And I just think that the Lord had a different kind of compassion than what we do sometimes, what we think it really is. But we attain. I mean, he healed the lame. He healed those that were blind and deaf. He raised those that were dead. One of the greatest stories is when he came to town and there was a funeral procession going by and there was the widow. And it wasn't her husband that was in the casket, it was her only son. And Jesus walks up and stops. He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. And they stop everything. And he walks over to the casket that he's in and he touches it and the young man raises up. And he sends him back. I mean, what an incredible God we serve. And if we want to be spiritually successful, we not only need to have a greater commitment to him and have a greater confidence, but we need to be more compassionate like him. And I think it's something that we all have room to practice. It's easy to criticize, very easy to critique. And then also, number four, cooperation. If we want to be spiritually successful, we have to have cooperation with Christ. When Paul wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said this, we are laborers together, and then he says, with God. We need to be cooperating with Jesus Christ. And many times we as believers fail to work for Christ as we should. Sometimes we're neglectful of what he's called us to do, which, by the way, he does want us to be working, because he says that in Ephesians 6, remember, that he has given us, that we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before in the past ordained, appointed, that we should be walking in them. So it's already been established by God way back in eternity past that there's things out there we should be doing regularly. And a lot of times I would say that we have a tendency to become neglectful. We have times when we make excuses, we don't cooperate, whatever it may be. But if I and you want to become a spiritual success, we have to realize that, Lord, instead of what do you want me to do today, what are we going to do today? Changing our mindset. What are we going to do today, Lord? What is it that you've laid out there for me, that you've laid it out there you want me to do something about? And be looking for that situation. Work for Christ. Work with Christ. Work for him and work with him. And then lastly is contentment through Christ. Again, we're talking about spiritual success. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, for I have learned. You see, one of the great reasons that Paul was such a good teacher is that he was a good student. One of the greatest aspects that we can have as we get older is to still be teachable, to have a teachable spirit. When we don't think that we need to be taught even by somebody that's younger than us or whatever, then we have a problem. But there needs to be a contentment. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So we went from New Hampshire to Texas. Whatever state we're in, we're supposed to be content. Amen? You realize when we left New Hampshire and come down here, that our automobile insurance, this is 21 years ago, our automobile insurance quadrupled in price. Same exact coverage. And I thought, you gotta be kidding me. And then I realized there's four times the greater chance that we'll be in a wreck in the Metroplex than up there on a mountain road where there's two other cars, all right? And so they don't have to insure you very much. And I kept telling the people when we, and I keep, please forgive me if I mention Fair Park. It's not because I miss it or anything. It's just there's 20 years of experience there. But I told them one time, and this is the truth, our last church in New Hampshire, and compared to Fair Park at that time, Fair Park's on Crowley Road, right off of 20. And the traffic is just growing more and more and more. We have, on any one day of the week, any day of the week, we have more cars that go by Fair Park Baptist Church than I would guess in at least a month or more our church up in New Hampshire. A lot more, probably. Probably 2 or 3 months. That's the difference, folks. And it's just incredible, the difference. Population. I think the total population of New Hampshire is not even, it's right at 1 million. So it's smaller than the Metroplex, all right? And but contentment. Discontentment can be pretty prevalent today, the day in which we're living. And there are a lot of people who are trying to find contentment through a lot of other things, possessions and pleasures and popularity and all those good things. But when we're talking about what God's talking about, something that's real, something that's lasting, it is found only in Jesus Christ. And folks, I'm convinced the closer we get to him, the more we enjoy life. He satisfies all the longings of our soul, and he brings spiritual success. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he told him in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse number 6, he says this, "But godliness with contentment," listen to what he says, "is what? Great gain." It's great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you want to be a spiritual success? I want to have a flatter stomach. Amen? I'm just telling you the truth, all right? I want to have a flatter stomach. I can get on my phone, pull out the little Google thing. What's the best way for a guy that's over 60? I'm looking for somebody that's going to be really easy on me, you know? To reduce my stomach, my belly fat, you know, whatever you want to call it there, you know? And it has all kinds of options out there. The three best exercises, the most effective, the five most effective ways. And I'm reading different ones like that. And I'm thinking, okay, I just wanted to know. And I put it away. If I really want to be successful in losing belly fat, I have to not only have the knowledge of what is effective, but I have to apply it. Happy are ye if ye do these things. And everybody here, there's no question, I don't doubt anybody's desire to be more spiritually successful than you are. And we have looked at five things here on our commitment, our confidence, our compassion, our cooperation, and our contentment. And yet, this time next year, we might be where we're at or even farther down. Because I think that once God shows you something and gives you light, if you don't step into it, I think we can begin to go backwards. Matter of fact, I think any act of disobedience is actually an act of, what's that word that they always used to use?
Sin.
Huh?
Sin.
Sin? Yeah, there's another. Backsliding. That's an Old Testament term. Israel had backslid. You know what it means to backslide? To go backwards. So if God says, here's light to step forward and to advance in, and if that light is there, and I'm not going to do it. I've gone backwards. I've stepped back away from it. I've backed off from it. And I want to be a greater influence spiritually on who God has me around, whether it's family of God or my personal family or neighbors or friends. I want to be successful, but it requires some things. And we have to, if we want to see the Jordan dry up, if we want to see the walls fall down, then we have to be willing to, well, what does it say back here? I'm going to go all the way back here to the book of Joshua one more time. And he says this in verse number 8, verse number 9, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do." That's the important part. "According to all that is written therein." And then there's that phrase, "for then." If these things up here aren't happening, then don't expect these things to happen. It's like a railroad car and they have couplers. And the couplers are like, God's saying, here's this. You take my book. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. You're going to meditate day and night on it. And you're going to observe to do everything according. And then over here is a car. And the car over here, the railroad car over here, "I will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success." And until you back up and do what, if you're not doing these things and back up and couple up with that, you can't pull that car along. And so it's vital that we understand it's the doing of the work. James talked about that. And then he says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee." He'll be with us through this whole situation. Whether soever thou goest. Doesn't matter where you're heading. He goes, "I'll be with you, because I'm the one that's leading you." So let's strive to be spiritually successful. If you have something that God spoke to your heart that you need to ramp up, try to ask him, "Lord, help me to get this in my life." Begin to practice it and get it going right away. And we're going to try to help each other in the new year. So we'll explain that a little bit more and show you some of the things that we have as we move along. Keep in prayer Don and Helen. Keep in prayer Gail. Those are the three ultimate ones there. We have others, but those are the three ones for health issues right now. And pray for everybody else. Continue to pray for Herb coming through. Just pray that none of this stuff will catch anybody else and that we can get everybody back together as a unit, as a body, and that God will see fit to bless in a very special way. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time around your word. Thank you for those that are here tonight. Pray for those that are not able to be with us who normally would be. And we ask, Father, that you would undergird. Lord, you also know the burdens of our hearts. There are some requests here tonight, dear Father, that we want to just lift up to you. You know the individuals and the situations. Lord, we ask, Father, that in your love and in your mercy, we know that you're an understanding God and you have compassion upon us. But Lord, we ask that sometimes circumstances are out of our control. Sometimes other people make decisions that we have to live with. And ask, Father, that you'll just, Father, in a very special way, that you'll intervene, showing us that you hear our prayers and that you, we just need you to show you your compassion. And Father, we just pray that those that may be out of fellowship with God or don't know you, that they'd come to know Christ as their Savior and true Holy Spirit repentance. And that, Father, that those that are knowing you, that maybe are out of your will, that Lord, that you would begin the process of speaking to them. And then, Lord, if they don't hear that, that you would begin to lovingly begin to work in their hearts and their lives, dear Father, where they may have to be chastened if necessary, dear Father, and rebuked. But we pray, Lord, that you'll just take it under girding and give us a good week. And may we, Father, see good success spiritually in our walk. And I believe that the sooner we start, the sooner we can see it by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.